we would like people to say that they love us, don't we? Our parents, our children. So here is Jesus just basking in that delightful glory. Wow. And immediately the Holy Spirit sends him into the wilderness. And as Mark puts this, it is so different. It's not like Jesus took a prayer walk into the wilderness, or was a leisure, well, you know, I will go and spend 40 days before my ministry starts. But no, this was an urgency in Mark's way of putting it in the Greek. If you would read that, it's an urgent urgency that Jesus was compelled to go into the wilderness to face what was there, or to take care of business, if you will. Jesus had to do something before his ministry began. And it was all waiting in the wilderness for him. He leaves this experience and is pushed into this wilderness to pray, fast, and wait upon the Lord to battle with Satan and to conquer and to walk out victoriously for those 3 years that he was called to minister. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He hears that. He hears that. The affirmation. And then begins the wilderness. You know, it's just like there is the River Jordan, green, luscious, beautiful, God speaking, affirming. Then right into the wilderness. I mean, yeah, it's kind of like we've been experiencing kind of wilderness here, if you would call that. Kind of things that we wouldn't want to go into, wilderness experiences. But isn't that part of our journey? It was part of Jesus' journey in a beautiful Jordan Valley, green, luscious, an affirmation from God. And then right into the wilderness. Right into the wilderness. Anyone who experiences God's call experiences wilderness. Are we ready for that? Do we experience wilderness in our walk, in our journey? Listen, if you aren't tempted now and then, if you don't know the wilderness, you're probably drifting through life. You are not seriously grasping with the issues. Anyone who experiences God's call, God calls you, and you say yes, it's not going to be a bed of roses, is it? Look what happens to Jesus. Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, which means that the wilderness is as much part of the landscape of the Christian life, like it was with the River Jordan. Last week, we talked about the mountaintop experiences. We would like to stay in the mountaintop, on the mountaintop, wouldn't we? We will pitch tents and stay there. Why go down into the valley or here into the wilderness? That anyone who experiences God's call, that is part of our journey, isn't it? Wilderness, The valleys are part of our journey. But when we walk through that valley, when we walk through the wilderness, God's Spirit is with us. God's Holy Spirit is with us. And here in this scripture passage, we read that the angels ministered to Jesus. The angels ministered to him. I want you to pause for a moment and understand what Paul is writing. Paul shares about Jesus as the second Adam. The first Adam, Adam and Eve, remember the temptation in the garden? And Adam and Eve, I mean both, Adam and Eve had a hard time. They couldn't resist. They couldn't resist what was tempting them. But look at Jesus. And Paul is referring to Jesus as the second Adam who resisted that evil, who overcomes, who has victory over that temptation and wins the battle and gives us that future, gives us that future. Gives us eternal life, gives us that Holy Spirit that we are able to, with His Holy Spirit, win those battles in our lives. Adam and Eve were unfaithful, but Jesus, a very similar situation, not the Garden of Eden, but in the wilderness, is able to have victory over the temptations of life. Though we live under the shadow of Adam, and that shadow threatens to darken our days, don't forget we can live in the bright light of the promise of Christ, the second Adam, the Holy Spirit, that He gave the newness of life, the power over temptation. Hebrews puts it well. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every respect was tempted as we are tempted, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Wow. He is the one, our great high priest, who can give us new life, who can give us strength to overcome temptations. And He comes victoriously. As we journey these 40 days, I know we have asked you, and there is 46 of you and plus praying these 40 days as a chain, fervently praying for those needs. And in that process, I mean, you're fasting from different things, from food and from other things as well, drawing closer to the Lord, not just giving up something, but in a meaningful way, connecting with the Lord. You know, as you pray for others, you're drawing closer to Him, closer to the Lord. And there is going to be temptations, stumbling blocks in your way, walls. You will know what I'm talking about as you go through these 40 days. There are going to be things that you're going to say, what's this all about? You know, do not dismiss those. Just stand, pause, and think about Jesus. Think about the 40 days in the wilderness. Think about those temptations. Things that might come across your path. Might not be the same things. All of us experience different ways of stumbling blocks in our journey. And Jesus says the angels ministered to him. The angels ministered. The angels were there. Well, of course, I mean, Jesus had to be there. I mean, he had to fight the enemy. But the angels ministered. And Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to help us. Help us in that journey, in that wilderness, in that time of temptation. I don't know what temptations that we face and how we handle situations, and that is to come these 40 days. Two Sundays ago, this is the third Sunday, two Sundays ago, there were 21 Egyptian men who were executed by the ISIS. 21 Christian men. These were Egyptians who were Christians. They were working in Libya, I think. And they sought out Christians, knocked at their door, and when they opened the door, they would pull them out and take them. And some had been informed not to open the door, so they did not open the door. But those who did, those were 21 men who opened the door, were pulled out, and were escorted to a place to denounce their faith, and they didn't. And they had told them, if you do not denounce your faith, if you are a follower of the cross, this is what is going to happen. And those 21 men walked the walk. I didn't watch the video yet, but one of my cousins watched it, and she saw the whole thing. It's a very gruesome video, she said, but I don't know. I might watch it just to know that what Christians go through. Not 2,000 years ago, 2 weeks ago. So these 21 men were led to a place and they were executed. And my cousin was sharing last night, she said, they were so peaceful. They were either singing or praying, calling on the name of Jesus. And they were so calm as they walked to this place where they were going to be beheaded. And she said, she watched it because she said, she wanted to know if she would do this, if she would stand firm in her faith when it comes to that point. And I'm asking myself, would I say, yes, Jesus is Lord, I will follow that cross no matter what? Are we ready to do that? I mean, we sang, "Are ye able," said the Master, "would you follow him?" I mean, we didn't even think about it, but we sang that hymn and said, "Oh, this is a good one." Would we be one of those 21 men And these were Egyptians. These were not Americans. These were Egyptian Christians. Jesus says he gives us the Holy Spirit. My friends, again, it's not 2,000 years ago things happened, or we know at the end times things will happen as such. Scripture says that, but it is the end times. It is at our doorstep. I'm not scaring you. But times have come. We are in a place, we are in a time that we need to step up and say, Lord, yes, I will follow you. No matter what, I will follow you. I will follow you. And Jesus says, I will give you my Holy Spirit. I will give you that strength. I will give you that peace to go through whatever you have to go through. So these 40 days as you journey, I don't know what temptations, what stumbling blocks are there for you. But the Lord says, I'm there with you. I'm there with you. If you are willing to take a step, we become stronger when we resist those temptations. We become stronger. This Lenten season, you will be much more stronger in your faith because you're drawing closer to Him and you're resisting whatever is trying to keep you away from those things that you have said, yes, I will do it for my Lord. Out of the desert comes renewed life. That life that Christ brought, that life-giving water, that Spirit, that Holy Spirit in you will blossom, will bear fruit so that others could be touched. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help us as we journey these 40 days. Gracious Lord, Lord, we just pause for those martyrs, those families, those mothers, those children, the wives of those men. Lord, we pray that you would encourage us, that we will not just dismiss something about martyrdom that was done some 2,000 years ago, like Stephen was martyred, stoned to death, but Lord, we witness it today. We know it is coming. Lord, I just pray that we will be ready, that we will hold on to you because, Lord, it is through you, the power of your Holy Spirit that you give us the strength to take that step, to be that witness, no matter what the world says, but to stand firm for our belief. To glorify your name, to glorify the name of Jesus, and not be ashamed among our co-workers, our colleagues, our friends. Give us the grace, give us the strength to walk these 40 days and draw closer to you and to receive that strength, Lord, for our journey. In Jesus' name, amen.